Arts Connection, the intersection of faith and the arts in Canadian culture, with your host, Robert White. Now, here's Robert.
Welcome to Arts Connection for Thursday, December 8th, 2011. Well, we've just celebrated the second Sunday of Advent, and the question is, how are you telling the old, old story in a new way? You know, pastors aren't the only one who struggle to retell the stories of Christmas in a new way. Musicians, painters, writers, and even photographers also find it a challenge to come up with a different way to tell the story of the Babe of Bethlehem. I mean, there's only so many ways you can describe frightened shepherds in a song, isn't there? Well, here's a few suggestions to give you some inspiration. Go to a children's Christmas pageant. As Art Linkletter used to say, kids say the darndest things. And a child's perspective on the Christmas story might just start up those creative juices. Read the Christmas story in a different translation. We all know, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn, from the King James Version. Well, how about this? She gave birth to her firstborn child, a son, wrapped him snugly and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the guest room, from the Common English Bible. A new version might just give you a new perspective. Or you can read the actual A Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens instead of watching one of the classic films. Words on a page can conjure up different images than images on a screen, and you'll see what changes the filmmakers made. Well, these are just a few suggestions. Come up with your own and share them with us by dropping me a line at robert@selahministries.ca, and let's keep the conversation going. Keep listening, and I'll repeat the email address at the end of the show. Oh, and by the way, if you're still trying to find that perfect gift for the readers on your Christmas list, don't forget the author's book fair at Lakeside Church. The celebration of the printed word features about a dozen authors. The event takes place from 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. at Lakeside Church in Guelph, and I'll even be there selling copies of my book, Chasing the Wind. That was Do Not Be Afraid from the title track from musician Glenn Soderholm's Christmas CD. Glenn, a singer-songwriter and worship leader and teacher, is in the midst of his annual Christmas concert tour, where he gets to beef up the backup band and, in his words, quote, play the wonderful music of Advent, Nativity, and Epiphany, end quote. Glenn Soderholm is with us on the phone from his Guelph home office to talk about his music and the Christmas tour. Good evening, Glenn.
Hi, how you doing?
Not bad. Now, before we get into the Christmas concert, we're probably looking at a new audience from the last time you and I talked here. But let's give our listeners a little bit of background information on you. How did you get involved in music?
Yeah, I've been playing guitar and singing since I was 13 years old, a very musical family. I was always involved in music in our church, but also got into bands in my school and various things. So I've been doing it a long time.
Now, is there a particular style that you gravitated towards?
Well, you know, when I was young, I listened to all the pop music that everyone else was listening to. Although I had lots of different influences in my life, with classical and gospel and all kinds of stuff. But I think I always gravitated more towards folk and singer-songwriter, sort of folk rock era. I loved, Bob Dylan and Neil Young, all those kind of guys.
Now, when did you sort of realize that you kind of wanted to make music a part of what you were doing in ministry and in your career?
Well, I think I wanted to do it from the time I started playing. I always, sensed a call to ministry as well, and so pretty early on I was using music as a worship leader. I was, offering songs that I thought would be of benefit to the body of Christ, the kingdom of God. But I thought that I was going to be doing it full-time when I was younger, but that didn't work out. I ended up really being called to first kind of mission work in high schools with Youth for Christ, and then finally into ordained ministry in the Presbyterian Church in Canada.
Now, when did you move from actual pastoral ministry more into a full-time ministry in song?
Yeah, I'd been pastoring for about 13 years in the Campbellville area, and so in 2004, I had already recorded a few CDs and was out, doing little mini tours on the side and performing, and so that, along with a lot of requests to come and teach about worship renewal, sort of merged into a call. So June 2004, which is hard to believe, 7.5 years ago, I started into this full-time kind of faith-based journey. And it's been a fascinating ride.
Now, in a sense, though, you were still involved in pastoral work, just going from pastoring a congregation to sort of focusing your efforts on pastoring people who are involved in the worship end of the music end of worship.
Yeah, I like to say that. People ask me, do you miss being a pastor? And I say, well, I still am a pastor. I've just taken on a larger parish and. So I think the gifts that I used in a local congregation, really helped me, essentially communicating the gospel, communicating a healthy theology of worship, teaching people how to lead, how to sing, how to praise, how to understand the worship is a story or a drama that we retell every week.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's just different because there's not a built-in congregation for me. I'm out always meeting new people, going to new areas, that kind of thing.
Now, looking at just your music and that as well, and I've had a chance to listen to, a number of your CDs over the years and that, when did the songwriting end of it come into play for you and actually doing songwriting?
Again, as soon as I learned a chord on the guitar, or two chords, I think I wrote a song. Always loved songwriting. Always felt that's what I needed to do was express myself through a composition. And so it's just been a long, long road of learning how to do it better, I hope, every year. And just doing a lot of listening. I still think I've got some of my best songs in me still to write.
Mm-hmm. Now, who have been some of your influences as a songwriter?
Well, early on I was, again, influenced by pop singer-songwriters, as I said, Bob Dylan, Neil Young, some of these people, but also the early Christian artists like Larry Norman and Randy Stonehill and Mark Hurd, those were fairly seminal influences on my writing. But so have lots of, poets and authors, and I sort of try to draw inspiration from all over the place.
Now, the one thing some of the people you mentioned are people that are very strong in the storytelling end of things. You know, Larry Norman, Randy Stonehill, Bob Dylan. Is that something that you really like to emphasize in your songs? Is telling a story through the music?
Yeah, I mean, my songs per se, I don't have many songs per se that are actual stories about people. I have a few of them, like Seamstress, for instance, on this last album. And I'd like to do more of that, because there's a few other songwriters I know who do that very well, like Peter Case and so on. But I would say that my songs are little snippets of the big story, you know, the grand narrative of what God is up to in this world. And if I can catch a little facet of that and get someone connected to it in that way, then I feel like I've done my job.
Now, looking at some of the stuff that you've done with the Christmas CD, I guess one of the questions I've always looked at and that is how do you take something that is so familiar and make it so different and make it into something that's going to be fresh and new for people?
Yeah, I mean, that's the life of the imagination and the creator. You know, for instance, on this album, as you know, we took Carolyn Aaron's song, Do Not Be Afraid, which I love. It's a fantastic song.
Yep.
But she wrote it in a major key, and when I went to record it and started reflecting on it, I thought to myself, you know, she's writing to people who are in a place of fear, you know, and we live in a very fearful time, I think, and so I thought, well, you know, this kind of, what would it sound like in a minor key, you know, and that's just sort of an artistic or creative move that you don't know where it comes from, but you just a gift that drops in there, and so we went and recorded it in a minor key instead, and it really changed the whole song. And you know, Carolyn, you know, she was a little freaked out by it at first, but she has given her blessing now and appreciates the way we interpret it. But that's what artists do, right? They see something, they hear something, that impulse, right? And then you craft it and you shape it. And sometimes it works, hopefully most of the time. Sometimes you take risks and don't always go the way you'd planned, but you know, that's part of the deal.
Now, in terms of your creative process as a songwriter, are you the type of songwriter where the words come first or the music comes first, or it just depends on that particular song?
Yeah, I don't think I have a set process. I get snippets. I get little pieces of a line here will drop into my head of either a melody or a phrase. And then once you have that sort of kernel, then it's a lot of hard work of just building it from there. But yeah, sometimes just the words can drop into my head, and that's the title, or that's the chorus, or sometimes it's a melody, and you just got to put words into it.
Now, how do you track that when you're out, say you're away from your home studio or something, and all of a sudden a snippet of a tune comes to you, or you know, like you say, a snippet of lyric and that. How do you keep track of all of that?
Yeah, well, you know, not to do any product placement or promotion here, but it's called an iPhone. I have a little recorder on it, you know, that's very handy. You just push the little button and bingo, you can just sing into it. I used to carry around one of these little micro cassette things, you know, and had it always in my bag, but now you can just do it with your smartphone, so it's pretty handy.
Great. Well, what I want to do is I want to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to continue our interview with Glenn Soderholm, talk a little bit more specifically about Christmas, the Christmas CD Do Not Be Afraid, and the upcoming Christmas concerts. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM, your inspiration station.
Stares past my shoulder to make sure these ends meet. He says it's for my dignity, and he says it's for my pride. So the children across the sea will not be denied on Christmas Day. I leave before sunrise to climb onto the stool. Calloused thumbs and broken nails, I am nobody's fool. My children's bellies will be full as into bed they creep. To dream of the children across the sea waking from their sleep on Christmas Day. And the wheel spins its melody in a chorus of regret, midst a thousand whirling spools of thread that have not finished yet.
Welcome back to Arts Connection. You've been listening to Seamstress, from Glenn Soderholm's Christmas CD, Do Not Be Afraid. I'm your host, Robert White, and we're going to continue our conversation with Glenn. You talked about Seamstress as being one of the songs that tells a story of a person, but it's also that one, as well as God Bless the Poor, have the theme of social justice behind it. Was that something you deliberately chose to do, was include songs with that kind of a theme for the CD?
Because I think that is part of the story that as I like to quote in concert, you know, even though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, so that we might become rich. And there's that sense in which Jesus, when he proclaims his mission, the mission of the kingdom, you know, he quotes Isaiah and says, you know, when you see prisoners being set free and you see the poor being attended to, then you know that the kingdom has come, and so it's just an important thing for us to see that the incarnation, God's becoming one of us, entering into our condition, means that he also enters into our poverty, whether that is our you know, lack of material resources, or whether it's the poverty of our brokenness and our sinfulness. He took all of that upon himself, and I think that the other part of it is, especially with Seamstress, I wanted to write about, you know, materialism and greed, but come at it, instead of as a didactic kind of thing, come at it from an artistic perspective with a little bit of a twist, mm-hmm. to get people thinking. Sometimes the best way to do that is to take on a different persona or character.
Right. Now, where did that song itself come from in terms of, is that something that you had experienced, or how did that one come to you?
I can't say that I've worked in a sweatshop somewhere, in Southeast Asia, but you know, we certainly now we hear about these stories and read about them, and I think it came out of a novel or something. I can't even remember exactly where, but again... These artists don't know where these ideas come from sometimes. They just drop in your head. And
yeah,
it felt a little bit weird, me taking on a persona of a woman, as I picture it, in another part of the world. But it seemed to work.
Right. Now, Do Not Be Afraid has been out for a year now. How was it received last year?
Pretty well. People who talk to me, if they were being honest, said they liked it. Being an indie artist, it's not like, I'm out there getting massive responses from critics or on iTunes or on television or something like that. You know, it's pretty low-key, pretty word of mouth. But people have been complimentary. It's the same thing, I think, with a lot of my albums. You know, I get some people who are just pleasantly grateful for them, and then I have other people who are like, think they're amazing, you know, change their lives and all that. You know, you have no idea why people respond to the music the way they do, but I've had enough response that it keeps me going, keeps me doing what I'm doing, so it feels like it's connecting with people.
Well, and I think that's one of the challenges that artists have is you take your art, whether it's a song, a book, a painting, a sculpture, whatever, and you do it out of that sense of calling, that sense of mission. You send it out there and hope that it sticks. And yet, in some cases, you never have any idea what kind of effect it's having. When you do that and you look at that, what keeps you motivated to keep on going as an artist and as you said, as an independent artist?
What keeps me going? Well, I think that it's about gifts and about calling. You know, I keep coming back to that word, but I have a sense that God made me to be someone who uses art and to know the word that sustains the weary. That's just a line that I've taken from Isaiah 50 that gathers up for me what I think I've been called to do. Because I think there's a lot of people who are really beat up out there, whether they admit it or not, and we all need that word, that come to me and rest word. So that sustains me primarily. And then there's great joy in it. I mean, even though there's a lot of hard work and there's times where you think, you know, what's the point? Nobody cares, you know, but there's other days you finish a concert or someone comments about a song that you've done that, and they say, you know, that was really worthwhile for me, or just the joy of playing with other wonderful musicians, and you know, on stage you've connected together and you've created something beautiful and good and new and unique. I mean, when you have that experience, you go, yeah, I, you know, there's always the possibility that could happen again. So, let's try it again.
You know, speaking of that hard work, and that is, as we record this, you're in the process of putting the band back together and rehearsing. What's it like brushing up on these songs in rehearsal for the Christmas session, the Christmas season?
Yeah, well, I get to play with amazing musicians. They're such pros, and they just make it delightful. So we don't have to do a whole lot of work. We sort of, you know, once we play through the song a couple of times, we remember the arrangements, and then we try to, if we can, add a few something new to it. For me, the hardest part is the lyrics, because I only sort of sing these things once a year for about a month, and to get them into your long-term memory is always a bit of a challenge. So, sometimes I use my notes in front of me just a double check if I've got the right verse coming up. But for the most part, I think I've got them committed to long-term memory now.
Now, one of the things I find with artists that do, especially musicians, and their songs that they do on a continual basis, is keeping them fresh. How do you do that? How do you take some of the songs that you do, like even once a year with the Christmas stuff, and keep that fresh so that, one, it's exciting for you, but two, the people that are listening can catch something new out of what's going on stage?
Well, again, it's just, if there are places where there are solos or things like that, or just creative space, say for, you know, you've got your bass player or somebody, you know, and suddenly they add a new phrase. I mean, I think these musicians are good enough that they know the basic pattern, so they can, just add something improvisationally which works. So that keeps it fresh. But I think there's also something empowering about just doing the arrangement really well. I mean, you know, when you go to hear the Messiah or something like that, I mean, it's pretty much, the room for interpretation is limited to some degree, and so dynamics might change a bit, and that's helpful. But there's something about doing what you've created, doing it well, that just, I don't know, it keeps it fresh. Fresh doesn't always mean new. It just means maybe inspired, just alive. You know, it's vibrant because you've done what you've created well.
Right, and it's not just going through the motions. There's a sense of we did this and we clicked as a band, or you know, the audience responded somehow to it in a way that we hadn't did before. They hadn't before.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, as we're broadcasting this, you're in the midst of the concert, the Christmas concert tour. Can you give us some details starting on the one in St. Catharines on December 9th?
Yeah, Harbor Fellowship. Which is a great church. My friend John Grant's one of the worship pastor there, and so we're looking forward. We're taking a little smaller ensemble that night. Bass player and my violinist, harpist, and Brad Woods will be with us telling stories. Mm-hmm. That same weekend we'll be at the Nassagawea in the Campbellville area at the lovely Nassagawea Retreat, which is always a hugely popular event, and there's only 70 seats each night, so it generally gets sold out, so tickets are moving pretty well for that already. Then we'll be in Guelph again at New Life. I think we had a fantastic show there last year, and we'll have the same band and Brad Woods as well, and hoping we get a great turnout. That'll be a World Vision supported night where we promote the ministry of World Vision and child sponsorship, and then heading all the way out to Unionville Alliance for a Sunday morning version of our Do Not Be Afraid theme. Mm-hmm. So looking forward to that.
Now, looking at this and looking at the busyness of Christmas and especially, you know, with all the concerts and that you're doing, how do you keep your own personal focus on the message of Christmas while you're in the midst of all this busyness?
That's a really good question. That's the constant challenge, isn't it? You know, to find those breathing spaces, you know, getting apart. I'm an early morning riser and my attempt is always to begin the day with just being in a quiet place, listening, reading, praying. Not to try to sound too holy or anything, but that's what nourishes me. But the other side of it is also all through the day, just trying to keep alert and aware, having ears to hear, eyes to see where God is at work, what is God up to around me, and if I'm sort of paying attention to that, whether I'm in a mall or in a restaurant or, even working, lugging gear somewhere, if I can sort of keep that sense of alertness, abiding astonishment, I think Walter Brueggemann calls it, then that's a good goal, mm-hmm. then I'll be okay.
Just looking at it, we're running out of time now. If people are interested in finding out about the concerts or wanting to get a copy of Do Not Be Afraid, how can they do that?
You can go to glennsauterholm.com and there look on the events page. From there you can click into iTunes and get the songs digitally, or you can email me. There's a place to order CDs there. And we're starting to see that shift of the digital revolution mm-hmm. is more and more that's happening. But I love selling the hard copy still, too.
Yeah. Glenn, thanks very much for your time tonight.
Well, thanks for being supportive of what I do, and blessings in your ministry and the radio show.
Thank you. And thanks for listening to Arts Connection today. Thank you to my guest, Glenn Sauterholm. Be sure to tune in next week for another look at where faith, arts, and Canadian culture meet. For more information on Arts Connection, email robert@selawministries, that's S-E-L-A-W ministries.ca, or follow us on Twitter at selaw13, S-E-L-A-W-13. For Arts Connection, I'm your host, Robert White, saying good day and God bless.
You've been listening to Arts Connection, a production of Selav Ministries. Be sure to tune in again next Thursday evening at 10, right here on Faith FM.